we want to welcome you to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is the radio ministry of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. You can find out more about the church by visiting merrittassembly.com. If you have prayer requests or praise reports, please email us at merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We would love to stand in faith with you. Now, here with today's Refresh broadcast is Pastor Bob Arthurs.
Happy Monday morning to you, Brevard County. I hope you are ready for a victorious week as God leads you in triumphal procession. And I pray you had a great weekend worshiping the Lord and got a week planned where you're going to accomplish great things because God lives inside of you. We're here talking about the fruit of the Spirit out of Galatians chapter 5, love, joy, peace. We've been doing our study on patience, and we are beginning to get down to the end of this. And out of all of the research that I have recorded and written down, would you believe that the patient endurance of the saints is something that is mentioned more times in the book of Revelation than any other time? That means that as the end times draw near, it needs to be even greater emphasis. There is a greater importance than ever before for the saints of God to have this fruit of the Spirit, which is patience and long-suffering. We welcome you to the Refresh Radio program here on WMIE 91.5 FM. My name is Bob Arthurs. It's November the 6th, 2017. And we're going to be in 2 Timothy chapter 2 today is where we're going to begin, 2 Timothy chapter 2. And we want to start off by saying thank you to Wyrick Air, Heat, and Electric. 321-632-9538, 321-632-9538. If you're anywhere in the county, that here in Brevard County anyway, that's their primary service area, that needs help with your air conditioning or your heater or your electricity, give them a call and they can come to you. As far as AC units, they can work on air handlers and condensing units. They can work on mobile home units. They can work on the mini split systems. They can work on just about any type of system that you have. And Dennis and Carla and their team do a great job. They're based here in Rockledge, Florida. And I encourage you to give them a call. Even if you don't need them now, write their number down, 321-632-9538, where you may need that in the future. So let's get into 2 Timothy chapter 2, 2 Timothy chapter 2, and we're going to begin reading today in the 20th verse. Now, this is going to, when I get down to verse number 24, there's a different word for patient there than what we have used here before now. And so I'll point that out to you when we come there. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse number 20. But in a great house there are not only vessels of gold and silver, but also of wood and clay, some for honor and some for dishonor. Therefore, if anyone cleanses himself from the latter, he will be a vessel for honor, sanctified and useful for the master, prepared for every good work. Flee youthful lust, but pursue righteousness, faith, love, peace with those who call on the Lord out of a pure heart. But avoid foolish and ignorant disputes, knowing that they generate strife. And a servant of the Lord must not quarrel, but be gentle to all, able to teach, patient, in humility, correcting those who are in opposition, if God perhaps will grant them repentance, so that they may know the truth, and that they may come to their senses and escape the snare of the devil, having been taken captive by him to do his will. So, verse number 20, look, it says, but in a great house. God's house, God's kingdom, is not average by any stretch of the imagination. It is phenomenal. To be a child of God is not to be a reject from the world. It is exactly the opposite. You and I are the cream of the crop because we have said yes to God living inside of us. And it's not that there's anything special about us. What makes us special is the God who lives inside of us. And so the world may have more flash. The world may have more publicity. The world may have more, power, if you will, from a political standpoint. But that doesn't make them more special. God's house is a great house to belong to. And if you are not part of the kingdom of God, today I want you to know that God wants you to be. Jesus paid with his very life to purchase you for himself. Not to make you a slave, but to make you a child of the Most High God. And so I encourage you to say yes. It goes on and it talks about that there are vessels of gold and silver and wood and clay, that some of the vessels are vessels of honor and some are vessels for dishonor. And that if anyone cleanses himself from the latter, well, what is the latter? It is cleansing yourself from those things which are dishonorable. And yes, we are getting to the fruit of the Spirit is patience here. We're gonna talk about that. That you and I, the responsibility for having the desire to rid ourselves from the filth and the dishonorable things of this world, that falls upon me and that falls upon you. It falls upon me for myself and it falls upon you for yourself. So, which do you choose to be? On Monday, November the 6th, 2017, you get to make a choice. Are you going to be a vessel of honor or are you going to be a vessel of dishonor? You see, the Bible talks about that Pharaoh was going to be used for the glory of God. There were options that Pharaoh had. He could have said yes to God's plan instead of hardening his heart over and over and over again. And you would read it and say, well, it says that God hardened his heart. The way that a heart is hardened is you encounter something over and over and over again, and you do not say yes to it. I have some calluses on my hands where I have used that particular part of my hand over and over and over again. I can tell you that some of those calluses were from digging. Some of those calluses were from moving. Some of those calluses and the spots that I have are spots that were wounded and are now healing. But it's so much better for us when we say yes to God instead of hardening our hearts towards him. So I encourage you, God's going to be glorified in your life. It says that every knee will bow and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. We now get to do that voluntarily. But there is coming a time where every person is going to stand before the throne of God. Believers stand before the judgment seat of Christ, where we will be rewarded according to our works that we have done because he lives inside of us. And then there is the judgment seat of God, the great white throne judgment that is described in Revelation, where people will be judged according to their works, but their works will have been to reject Jesus Christ as Lord. And they will be removed from God's presence, but they will say that he is righteous and just in all of his ways. They will bow their knee. They will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, but it will be too late for them. I encourage you. Listen, there is a a mindset that is out there that people have in themselves that say, look, if I blow it, if I do not make it, that if the tribulation happens, if persecution comes, well, I will just flip the switch and all of a sudden I'm going to be super believer and I am just not going to bow to the pressure. I want you to understand the reality, and that is this. If you will not serve God now when it is easy, you will be even less inclined to serve him when your very life depends upon it. Do not deceive yourself. Allow the grace of God to come into your heart and say, God, I want you to cleanse me from dishonorable things in my life so that I can be a vessel of honor. It says that the vessel of honor is three things. Sanctified. That is that a vessel of honor is set apart for God's holy purpose. Does it mean that they don't live in the community? No. Does it mean that they have to be in full-time ministry? No, that's not what that means. It means that you are set apart for a holy purpose, that you know that God chooses the time for you to live. He chose your birthday. He chose your promotion day. He chose where you are going to live. He chose the job that you're going to have. He chooses those things so that you can be his ambassador in that community for such a time as that. That means that when I go to work, when I am out in the community, that God has me set apart for a holy purpose. That's what a vessel of honor is doing. It is a vessel of honor says, you know what? God has a special purpose that he wants to accomplish, and I'm not going to demean his purpose by choosing to live dishonorably. Okay? Second, it says not only will he be sanctified, but will be useful for the master. I want to ask you today, if you were God, would you choose to use you right now? And that silence was intentional to give you the opportunity to reflect upon that. The truth of the matter is we all have cleansing that we need to do. We need, I'm telling you, the gift of repentance is not a one and done thing. It is a lifestyle where you say, God, I repent of anything that would make me not only dishonorable, but it would prevent me from being used by you. And there are people say, well, God used a donkey to speak to Balaam. Yeah, he did that because Balaam refused to listen to his voice. I don't want to have to say, God, you can't use me and you got to find a donkey around here to use because I'm too thick-headed for you to use. So if we will cleanse ourselves from dishonorable things, all of a sudden you will not find that life is boring. You are going to find that life is more adventurous than you ever dreamed possible because God wants to use you. When you were born, he already knew the purpose that he had for you to be born. He says, now you are ready for me to use you. You say, well, why wouldn't he use me before? And it's because this, listen, humanity has this terrible habit of getting puffed up and arrogant. And if our character doesn't match up with the giftings that God has for us, then the giftings will destroy us because the character can't support the gifting. So we need to make sure that we cleanse ourselves of those things and confess those things to God so that God can make us useful for the master, prepared for every good work. In 2013, that first Christmas season, I did a series on preparation. And when I say that I learned things on this radio program, that was one of the things that I learned, is that God is an extreme preparer. David did a great deal of preparation work for the temple that Solomon would build, even to the design of the silver forks and the gold forks, and the design, the weight, what they were going to be made out of. He was extremely prepared. And here it says that if we will cleanse ourselves from dishonorable things, that we in doing so are preparing ourselves for every good work. So what is that cleansing ourselves from dishonorable things look like? First of all, it talks about fleeing from youthful lust, the lust of the eye, the lust of the flesh, and the boastful pride of life. Okay? Lust is a desire, but it is an ungodly desire. You and I need to flee from those things that do not line up with God's plan. God's provision for you will always be better than the provision you make for yourself. I'll say that again. God's provision for you will always be better than the provision you make for yourself. The miracle of Isaac being born was better than Sarah's plan for Abraham to have a concubine named Hagar. So don't shortchange yourself. Be patient and wait for God's plan. Amen? Okay. And so flee youthful lust, but not just to flee. What I mean, if you're running away from something, the one thing that you are looking for is to look in the rearview mirror and not see that thing. But this says, flee youthful lust, but pursue righteousness, faith, love, peace with those who call on the Lord out of a pure heart. So fleeing lust happens when we start chasing the things that God wants us to chase. Okay? So that's the way that you pursue those. The second way that you prepare yourself for or rid yourself of dishonorable things in your life is you know what to avoid. You know what to avoid. It says, avoid foolish and ignorant disputes, knowing that they generate strife. I don't know if you have ever met someone that loved to argue. They would argue about whether the sky was blue, that whether the sun came up in the east and set in the west. They would argue about all sorts of things. They would argue about whether grass is green and dirt is brown. They just love to argue. And I've seen people get sucked into this trap. It is very much something that I feel there's a lot of that goes on in Christianity, and that is we argue way too much. Now, I'm not talking about compromising the truth of God's word. I'm talking about arguing for the sake of arguing. You know, I've told you that there was a person who came to the church one time, and I was on my way out the door, and they said, well, I was bored at home, and so I decided I was going to come over here and argue with you. Well, I don't have time for that. I don't have time for that at all. So, I'm not in the business of occupying people's minds. Now, if you want to sit down and discuss the things of God, I'm all for that. But if you're trying to argue about stupid stuff, I know this. It says that whenever you participate in foolish and ignorant disputes, that the only thing that is generated out of that is strife, not life. So if you and I are sitting down and we're just trying to understand one another and trying to come to the best understanding of the word that we can, and we're fighting for truth, we're contending for the faith, not contending to be right, that's going to generate life. I've got some very dear friends or people that I consider dear friends that we don't line up on all of the theological spectrums. I mean, we don't cross not everything that we dot is considered an I by them or a crossed T by us. But we're on the same team. We serve the same God. We've been redeemed by the same blood. It goes on and it says, and a servant of the Lord must not quarrel, but be gentle to all, able to teach, patient, in humility, correcting those who are in opposition. So this is talking about a servant of the Lord, not just a preacher of the word. Every believer is a minister. Every believer is a servant of the Lord. And it says that we are not to be quarrelsome. We're not supposed to be going around in contention with everybody about every living thing all the day long. We're not supposed to be quarrel, but we're supposed to be gentle. We'll talk about that more at a later time. Supposed to be able to teach. What do you have that you can impart to somebody? And then it talks about patient. And that's really the purpose of our talking. It says enduring. The definition of this particular word is enduring ill or forbearing. And again, forbearance isn't a canceling of a debt. It is somebody coming along and saying, you know what, we're willing to extend grace to you because we know that God is working in this situation, and we're going to come to a resolution that is in both of our best interest. So let me ask you, have you ever gone through some difficult times? Every soldier goes through boot camp. There is no one that is so skilled that when they come in, they say, you know what, you don't have to go to boot camp because you are just so well trained. Nobody gets to do that. They endure that hardship so that they will be prepared for whatever they face on the battlefield. They will know that they have gone through something more challenging in boot camp than what they will face in reality. That's the goal. That was the way it was intended to be. That was the way it was designed to be. I can't guarantee you that that's the way it's always going to be as we try and make our military more and more politically correct and all of that sort of stuff. I just know this. God, I have this mindset. I did not go to the fanciest Bible college. I did not go to the best facilities. The first dorm that I was in, I had in the fall semester, it had heat that was generated by a boiler in the basement. And once it was fired up, there wasn't a thermostat to turn it down. It just generated heat. And what happened was they turned on the heat because it was really cold. And then the room got so hot, and there was a blizzard going on outside. There was snow that was falling, and so you had to open up the window to cool the room down because there was so much heat that was going on. But I had the mindset of, look, the ministry may not be the easiest thing that I will ever get involved in. And so I was willing to put up with that. People go to college where they suffer from financial challenges for that season because that season is preparing them to be successful in whatever career that they have. I got to move on here. But that's the type of patience that it says that I so trust God that in this moment, even though it's challenging, even though it's impacting me in a negative manner as far as my flesh goes, I know that it is preparing me for victory and success on down the road. It goes on and it says, in humility, correcting those who are in opposition. And all of this is designed to be helpful in us in reaching other people so that they can be set free. What if we saw that one of the goals, one of the end results of patience is that people would be saved? Would you be willing to be patient with somebody if you knew it was going to result in their salvation? Listen to these things that it asks for us to do. Be patient in verse number 24, if perhaps God will grant them repentance. Be patient with people so that they will come to the place where they will also choose to be a vessel of honor instead of a vessel of dishonor, and they will cleanse themselves from dishonorable things. Okay? So that they may know the truth. Would you be patient with a student in school so that they would know the truth? Now, in our modern educational paradigm, we have a certain amount of material and we have to cover that in a specified amount of time. And so if you pace yourself, you've got to learn on a certain schedule. If you don't, then we're not going to be able to cover the material, and that is just not acceptable. So if a person misses something, and if every truth builds up upon the previous truth, if somebody falls behind, then they're going to find themselves falling farther and farther and farther behind. You and I, we've got to be willing to be patient with people who have not yet come to know the truth, because we want them to know the truth. Jesus said, if you are my disciples, you will obey my commands. You will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. Okay? Knowing the truth is extremely liberating, but we've got to be as patient as Christ so that people will come to that they may come to their senses. Isn't it interesting that the prodigal, after he left away, that he had to come to his senses, he had to come to his right mind, he had to begin to think about his father the way that his father had always been, instead of the way that he always thought about his father. Not every premise of thought that we have is the right one. So we've got to pray and be patient so that they can come to their senses. Think of it this way. Think of a person coming out from under anesthesia, and there's somebody there, and they are constantly waiting and monitoring, knowing that each and every moment they are regaining their senses and they're going to be able to handle themselves. You and I, we've got to show that kind of patience and escape the snare of the devil, having been taken captive by him to do his will. If you and I would realize many times that the people that we're praying for, the people that we are trying to reach, that really they are not exercising their free will. They have been taken captive by the prince of darkness, and they are implementing his will instead of theirs. You know, you'll be a lot more patient with people, and you'll be a lot more driven to pray, and you'll be driven to be a vessel of honor. Say, God, I want you to show them what a life that's not controlled by drugs looks like. I want you to show them what a life that is controlled by the Holy Spirit looks like. I want to show them what a life that's not consumed by alcohol looks like. I want to show them what a life looks like of a faithful, committed, godly marriage. That's what I want them to see. A life not driven by the toys of this world, but instead driven by God's purpose. You and I today, if we will make a choice this week to rid ourselves of dishonorable things, all of a sudden we'll find ourselves set apart for a godly purpose. We will find ourselves useful. We'll find ourselves prepared for every good work, and we will find ourselves being patient with others so that they can repent, know the truth, come to their senses, and be set free from the strongholds of the enemy. See you next time right here on Refresh.
Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, merrittassembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510 at 10:30 a.m. Remember, Proverbs 11:25, he who refreshes others will himself be refreshed.
Lord, I wish I could praise you with adequate words, but you leave me speechless. And I so long to sing you the song you deserve, but it would be endless. I long to move your heart, I bring you something new, I tell how great you are, tell my praise to you. It's like an ocean breeze.